So I would ask you to turn with me to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. And we're going to look, if you'll keep your Bibles open this morning, we're going to look at five different passages. And in these passages, we're going to notice a word that is the same in each passage. And I won't make you hunt for it. I won't make you dig for it. I'll tell you what the word is, so you can be alerted to it when you see it. The word is first. First. So the subject of our message today is priorities. Priorities in your life. Many of us are familiar with making some sort of a list. You'll make it on your phone. You'll make it on a piece of paper. You'll make it on a piece of paper and lose it. Whatever. And then after you've made the list, you will prioritize the list and determine which of those things are the most important that you need to get done in the event that you don't have enough hours in the day to complete the task. Now, we're that way. So the Lord said, I want you to know some things that I consider to be priorities, some things that are important that should be first in your life. And we're going to look at those today. And the first one here in Mark chapter 12 and in verse 30 actually is in a context. So the word first is in verse 30, but we're going to start in verse 28 just so you understand how we got to verse 30. Verse 28, one of the scribes, Mark chapter 12, verse 28, one of the scribes came and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our Lord is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. What is it? To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. That should be the greatest priority, listen, in every person's life. You know, not just for Christians. This was a law that was written to Israel. It was given to Israel in the giving of the law when Moses heard from God and then wrote down what God said. In Deuteronomy, when he's giving the second giving of the law and he's getting ready to come down into those things that we should and should not do, this is what he said. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. That's the priority. Now, as people, we are made with the capacity to love. It's what draws us to our children. It's what draws our children to us. I realize there are difficulties in families, of course. But even when there have been sometimes horrendous things that have happened, there is such a depth of love of parents for the children that it seems to, like the Bible says, covereth a multitude of sins. And just seem to overlook all of that because of that love. And then there's the love that we have for somebody that we meet that becomes our spouse. There's love for an occupation or a vocation. There are people that talk about a sport or a recreation that they like to do or a hobby they pursue. And they'll speak of it in terms of love. And they'll say, I love to, whatever that is, shoot or ski or collect rocks or whatever it is. It may not be something you love, it's something they love. And there are people who, you know, have a favorite team. And they'll speak about that as something or some group of people that they love. That's in us. And so with the capacity to love, the Lord says to us, I want you to direct the love of your soul, the love of your mind, the love of your heart, the love of your strength, first and foremost to me. That's what he said. And he didn't say that because he's egotistical. He said that because, as we find in 1 John, we love him because he first loved us. Once we get ourselves oriented in our relationship with God and love him first and foremost, all the rest of everything we love in life now falls into its proper place. Not only less than the love that we have for him, but this. You know, and I know, those of you who love God, and you would say, I love him as much as I can at this point with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. You love your wife better than you would if you didn't love him that way. Do you understand it? That kind of love elevates your love for everything else that you're supposed to love to a higher and greater degree. It puts everything with that love of God in its proper place and priority. All the rest of the love turns out right. We said before, but it bears repeating, because John said it in his epistle, if we don't love each other, it's a reflection on the relationship that we have with God. How can we say that we love God if we don't love the brothers that we have in Christ and the sisters that we have in Christ? And that's true. That's a very true statement. So when we get a little sideways with each other, before you try to straighten out everybody else or all of those who now you feel, you know, sketchy in your love, get back and check your own heart's relationship with God and see if there's not, right, a difficulty there. In the book of Revelation, there are letters written to churches and to the angels of churches. And what the Lord has done is he's speaking to these churches and he's commending them for the good things they're doing. And he's also rebuking them for the things that they're doing that they shouldn't be doing, because he wants them to get in a right relationship. And the first church that he writes is the church at Ephesus. And when you read the complimentary statements that God makes about that church, you're looking at a church that is doing good. And he says, but you've left, here's what he said, you've left your first love. In other words, with all those good things, he said, the problem I'm having with you is that the main thing has now been relegated to a minor thing. The work, the faith, the things you're doing for me are now more important than your relationship with me. And he says, I don't want that. I want your relationship with me to be more important to you than the works for me. The love for me more than what you're doing for me. And I'm reminded of a little story that happened many years ago, but a father had a daughter whom he really loved. And they had a little routine. Every afternoon when he came home from work, she would meet him and then they would take a walk together. And they loved that time of fellowship together. That was something he looked forward to when he first got home. That's something she looked forward to when he first got home. And one day he came home from work and he said to her, I'm ready to walk. And she said, I'm sorry, Dad, I can't right now. I'm busy. Okay. So the next day he came home and, I'm sorry, Dad, right now I'm busy. And this went on for a few days and it really distressed him. And so it upset him. He didn't know what the problem was, and he couldn't imagine what it was that she was doing that had become more important than what they were doing when they got to spend that time together. And after a few days of this, his birthday came around, and he came home from work, and as she met him at the door like she had before, she had a box that was wrapped, and she was like, I have a present for you, Daddy. And he was like, oh, that's wonderful. He's kind of uplifted him because, you know, been getting kind of stiff-armed there. So he sat down and he tore the paper off the box and he opened the box and there was a beautiful pair, as much as they could be from her, of moccasins that she had made for him. And she said, "Daddy, I'm sorry, but the reason I couldn't walk with you these last few days is I was trying to finish up these moccasins before your birthday, and I wanted you to have those." And he smiled and he hugged her and he said, "I these are beautiful." But he said, "In the future, I'd rather have you walking with me." That's God. That's God. We sometimes get so tied up in the things that we're doing that we're forgetting about the one that we should love. And he says, "You know what? It's okay. Just stop. Spend some time with me. Love me because I love you." And you know, I found in my life, and you probably have too, there are times that all of a sudden he stops you. You get real busy, right? And you get down a little bit and you get a cold. And you're like, "Oh, I wish I didn't have this cold. I have so much to do." But you can't do anything because you're sick and nobody wants to be around you. And so, you know what? I hadn't had time to read my Bible. You start reading your Bible and praying a little bit. And the next thing you know, it's rekindled the fire between you. And you're like, "I get this. I get this. He slowed me down for a purpose." And you get kind of back on track with God. That's very important. God, your love for God should always be first. All right. Now turn with you to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And look with me in verse 33. Now he says, "But." All right, so we're in a context again, and I could read the long context, but let's just begin with verse 31. Verse 31. Now he says in Matthew 6:31, "Therefore take no thought, saying, 'What shall we eat?'" Well, we're 30 minutes before 12. You might be thinking about that right now. "Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek." Amen. "For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye," what's the next word? "First, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Now, we do take thought for the morrow. And sometime today, you'll be making plans about tomorrow or this week, maybe even further out. And there may be something you have to get clothes ready for work, or you know, the number of things that happen. And suddenly, something we're talking about today seems to just kind of go to the side because these other things in life have become the priority. And the Lord said, "Seek ye first, the kingdom of God." That should always be the priority. Now, we get tied up with things that are important. Your work is important. You have to do a good job. You have to be diligent. You have to be faithful. Your education is important to you. You have to learn if you're going to pursue some sort of a career that will allow you to provide for your family. But you know, I've heard people say, I'm really pushing myself because I want my children to have it better than I did. Can you really make it better for them by spending more hours at work and making more money and neglecting the kingdom of God? They may have more wealth. You may be able to afford a better college. They might drive a better car, but they may not be better off. An education, a good job, a successful career can help you make a living, but it will never teach you how to live. You don't know how to live until you seek first the kingdom of God. Because that kingdom is a kingdom that you entered when you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's possible, so I'm going to make a little parenthesis here. It's possible that there's somebody here today that has not yet gotten saved, that has not yet entered the kingdom of God, that will not see the kingdom of God. Except you be born again. Except a man be born again. He cannot see the kingdom of God. That would be a tragedy for you to be here hearing what you're hearing today and miss eternity with God because you're consumed with your occupation, your family, your house, and all the other things down here. May I tell you, everything down here is going to pass. Heaven and earth shall pass away. And they will. So and we've been studying Ecclesiastes in Sunday school. You're going to devote a lot of time to better whatever it is here. And when you're done, that's the end of it. There's a saying, only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And so it's very important when we are thinking about priorities to always think, how does this affect my judgment at the judgment seat of Christ? How does this affect things going on in the kingdom of God? If you're not saved, you have no connection to that kingdom. But if you were to make this statement a priority in your life, you would put aside temporarily everything else in your life until you discovered how you can enter the kingdom of God by faith in Jesus Christ. You would. Everything else would suddenly not be as important to you as where I'm going when I die and what kind of living do I have on this side of eternal life? This side of eternity. If I can have eternal life in the kingdom of God now and a home in heaven later, I'm going to make that a priority. That doesn't mean that you'd get saved today. Y'all know that Lizzie and Ari are in Reunion Island and many of you are praying. So they had the conversation yesterday with the lady some of you are praying for. And I got a text. Ori said, she now knows the gospel and she now knows she needs to be saved. She's just not ready. All right, I understand that. If the kingdom of God is a priority, she'll be saved soon. If the kingdom of God is not a priority, she'll go right back, right, to the things that she was doing and miss the kingdom of God. So I have to say that parenthesis there. You check your own heart. I don't know where you are with God, but if you're not connected to the kingdom of God because you've not been born again by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that needs to become a great priority in your life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. His righteousness is in Jesus Christ. But if you're in, which is the vast majority of the people that are here, if you're in the kingdom of God, you want to be conscious every single day that that kingdom is your priority. I have neighbors, and I have them on my prayer list and been praying for those. And I walk in the neighborhood, and yesterday, right, seek ye first, kingdom of God. Yesterday, I had a conversation with a 78-year-old neighbor of mine for whom I've been praying, greeting, but that's on my mind, the kingdom of God. And he's not in that kingdom yet because he's not born again. So he stopped me and we started a brief conversation. But may I tell you that in that conversation, he said something, and what he said opened a door to the gospel. And I was able to give him verses of scripture pertaining to that open door to stir his heart about his relationship with Jesus Christ. If my priority in that, and I'm not holding myself up as the example, I can tell the story because I was there. I was an eyewitness. If my priority had been exercise, that's why a lot of people walk. If my priority had been 30 minutes out of the house, no chores, no, we wouldn't have been talking about the kingdom of God. But if my priority was opportunity for the kingdom of God, when that door opened, it was very easy to see. The Holy Spirit wants some message about the gospel preached to this man. Do you understand that? Everywhere you are, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That should always be the priority. It will help you when you're making choices. Oh, I'd like to do this, but you know what? That's going to affect my opportunity for that, and that has something to do with the kingdom of God, and this doesn't. I'll choose that. Okay? All right, turn with me now to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and look at verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and look at verse 5. First, love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Priority. Second, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. God said all these things that you're pursuing, they'll be added unto you. But don't neglect that kingdom. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 5, it will help for us to read from verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit, of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Before we go to verse 5, let me just explain briefly what you've seen there in case you're not familiar with the passage. One of the things that the churches that were springing up with the spread of the gospel into the Gentile countries and Gentile cities and territories was that they should send money back to Jerusalem to help the poor saints that were in Jerusalem. They were going through a dearth and they went through a great deal of persecution. That's partly why the gospel spread out into those other regions. And so Paul took it upon himself to make sure that the churches were aware. The churches in Achaia, where Corinth was, the churches in Macedonia, the churches in Galatia, they were aware of the need, and he told them, take up an offering for these guys. So when the Macedonians decided that that's what they were going to do, they also went through a great trial of affliction. They also went into deep poverty at the time, but they went ahead and got some money together to send down there to the poor saints in Jerusalem anyway. And so when Paul got to Macedonia and saw the condition, he said in verse 4, they praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. He said, he saw it. He said, you know, in essence, you guys need this almost worse than they do. And they said, no, we want to have fellowship in the ministering to the saints. Take the gift. Verse 5. And this they did, not as we hoped, but, there's the word, first, gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. So when we're thinking in terms of priorities, the priorities of our love, the Lord God, right? The priorities of our life, the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then when it comes to this subject of giving, of helping other people, first give yourself to the Lord. First give yourself to the Lord. I don't have, even though I've been in the banking business before entering the ministry, I don't have too many disagreements from people about giving to the Lord. But every once in a while, you'll bump into somebody and they want to argue with you about this subject of giving to the Lord. Now, I've learned something and you've learned it in your own life as well, or if you haven't learned it, you will. When you give yourself first to the Lord, you don't have any problems with your pocketbook. But when you give yourself first to the money that's in your pocketbook, you have a lot of trouble when it comes to giving to the Lord. It's just the way it is. That's the way it is. The love of money is the root of all evil. Do you really want that? Now, I'm not. So this is what I've learned even in my own life. Once you give your own self to the Lord, that peace, giving, there's nothing to it. As soon as you see the need with a bountiful eye, you're there to want to try to take care of it and help it. Whether it's a missionary on a mission field or a poor saint among the brethren, it's just not an issue with you. They'll say of certain people, he's such a fine man, he'd give you the shirt off his back. I don't see many men walking around without shirts. But that usually means the person doesn't need that much from it. But you know what he's saying is, if it comes down to the last dime and you need it more than he does, you're going to get it. That's what the expression's all about. Not going to leave you destitute and live in luxury. And so that giving thing, that it really stems from, again, Lord, you can have anything you want. You know what happens to people who love God, first and foremost, seek the kingdom of God, first and foremost, and give themselves to the Lord? They don't have problems doing what God calls them to do if it's being a missionary, a preacher, a giver, a helper, whatever the Lord may do, because you've given yourself to the Lord. You know, a lot of times when people are talking about salvation, they'll say, I gave my heart to the Lord. You heard that expression before. Honestly, I'll tell you, it's almost like a two-phase thing. You don't really get saved by giving your heart to the Lord. You get saved by receiving Jesus Christ. He gave the gift. So you get saved by receiving Jesus Christ, and that can be enough. If you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and you don't do anything with it, you're still saved. But if you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and then you give your heart to the Lord, the rest of everything goes with it. And decisions about, well, I wonder if we should go to church or not. That's not even a hard decision. I wonder if I ought to be reading my Bible or not. That's not a hard decision. None of that's difficult. You don't have to, when people are like that, you don't have to instruct them on how to give, because God loveth the cheerful giver, and they're right in there with it, just like the Macedonians were. It's a testimony to the grace of God. If you haven't given yourself to the Lord, I remember the day. I really think we've talked about it so many different ways, but I think that's the, if you will, leap of faith that finally just says, whatever God wants, that's what I want to do. And when you get there, life is different because you're not arguing then with God about what you want and what He wants. You just do what He wants. And I found something out, as many as you have, when you do what He wants, it's better. I was talking to somebody this week and they said, you know, I love to pray and find out what it is God wants me to do. It's so much easier than trying to figure it out. Because when I'm trying to figure it out, I'm usually bargaining and negotiating. When I just find out what He wants me to do and I go do it, because that's the priority, I give myself to the Lord, it works out. And that's true. Matthew chapter 23. Now in Matthew chapter 23, you know what's going on here. This is the scathing rebuke of the Pharisees. Jesus Christ, before His crucifixion, is absolutely giving these guys downtown Charlie Brown. He is working them over, man. And in the process here in Matthew chapter 23, they, the Pharisees, are presenting themselves as people who are squeaky clean, but they're not squeaky clean. And so beginning with me in verse 25, here's what he says. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse. What's the next word? first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You're like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of uncleanness. Even so you also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Back there in verse 26, he said, cleanse first that which is within. You know, when you start thinking in terms of the priorities in your life, then you realize my first priority is to love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Seek His kingdom first rather than this kingdom down here. Give yourself first to the Lord. And then when you're doing that, you're going to get a good look inside and realize, I ain't quite as good as I thought I was. And he says, when you go to work on that, clean it from the inside out first. That's true. I hate to admit this. Well, then you're probably thinking, don't. But sure would like to know what it is that you hate to admit. I think of myself as a person who always played to the crowd. That's a people pleaser. Always played to the crowd. In other words, if my parents had expectations when I was a kid, and they did, then I played to the crowd. I tried to impress them. But I also know, you know, then, and certainly looking back now, that if they knew what was really going on, they'd have been like, well, we're not happy with that at all. You know, then so forth and so on. You're in high school, you play to the crowd that you're hanging around with. So if I'm hanging around with this crowd, I'm looking like that. And I'm hanging around with that crowd, I'm looking like that. That's a hypocrite. Go into the banking business and, you know, look good to this group and this way to that group. I was teaching Sunday school to the adults in a Methodist church before I got right with God. And I was doing things in the social crowd that I had in the banking business that were very contrary to that. Those are two completely different lives. I know none of you have ever had this. So you're just learning what it's like for people who do. I get that. But you should get some insight into this, because you'll bump into somebody. You might even look in the mirror one day and realize, whoa. The greatest day in my life, apart from being saved, was when I no longer had to play to the crowd. I just got down with the Lord and I said, you know what? This is what I really am. Let's go to work from the inside out. And the beauty now is, if you see me here in the pulpit, or you see me back there in the office, or you see me in the truck, or you see me at Academy, or you see me at the house, or you see me at HEB, same. Same, no surprises. We knew it was going to be like that. We've seen him at church. We kind of knew that. We kind of expected that. You know, we have a very beautiful veteran cemetery right over here. Coastal Bend. Man, those flags are raised. I've done a number of graveside services out there in that pavilion. They're beautiful services, honor guard, folding of the flag, very patriotic. Men and women that have served our country. It's quite an honor. It really is. It wells up something inside of me every time. And they keep it looking good. It's a pretty place. But you know what's underneath those headstones? Yeah, dead men's bones. And he says, don't be, you know, so we do that with cemeteries and we make them look good. We also do that with our lives and make them look good. And the Lord said, not with me. If you're going to get it cleaned up, you work on the inside first. The outside will clean up, but you go to work on the inside. Man, that's such good priority. So when you're dealing with sin in your life, not too long ago, I had to deal with a friend of mine I've known for nearly 35 years. And he had something going on in his life that nobody knew except the people with whom he was doing this thing. And in the process of working with him after it was disclosed and discovered that he was doing what he was doing, He said this, and I'll never forget it. The people in my church have never seen me do anything inappropriate like this. You know what that is? Outside. You're not more stellar because nobody has ever seen you do something like that in your church. If that is what you are, go to work on the inside. You don't have to worry about them ever seeing it. You won't be doing it. And you won't be that person. So the first thing, when you notice there's sin in your life, and we all have that, go to work on the inside. Clean it up from the inside. The outside will take care of itself. Mark chapter 9. Last one. Yep, you want to get your priorities straight. You love God first and foremost. Seek His kingdom and righteousness first and foremost. Give yourself to the Lord first. Clean it up from the inside first. Those are the priorities. And then this, Mark chapter 9. The verse we want is 35, but we'll begin with the paragraph there in verse 33. He came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, he's asking his disciples, what was it you disputed among yourselves, by the way? So they had a little argument going on, and he was out of earshot. Of course, he knows what they were arguing about, right? But he's out of earshot. So he says, hey, so what was that all about? They held their peace. They didn't want him to know. He already knew, you understand that, but they didn't want to say anything about it. For by the way, they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. You've probably never concerned yourself with being the greatest, probably. But probably you have. And he sat down and called the 12 and saith unto them, if any man desire to be first, the same should be last of all and servant of all. In your relationships with each other and your relationship with the Lord, as you consider doing something for Him, if you want to be great at it, be servant of all. First, be servant of all. You are here to serve, not to be served. Now, when you first start coming to church, you first get saved and you first start coming to church, you need to be served. You need to be served. You need to learn. You need somebody to disciple you. You need somebody to love you. You need somebody to explain some things to you from the Bible. And you should. You should let somebody do that. That's a good thing. But once you begin to get stronger and you see that you have benefited by what you received, then you want to turn that around and give that to somebody else. But just remember this. It's not about you. It's about Him. And we have in our nature the desire to do well. If you've watched any kind of competition, the people who participate in the competition want to win. I don't know people who actually are competitive. They go to a sport and say, "Oh, I just want to lose." What are you doing here? I hope I come in last. That you don't do that. You've got a thing in you. I have a thing in me that we might want to label ambition or something like that. But if I'm going to apply myself to this, I want to be the best. I want to win. Years ago, whenever we would fly somewhere and wanted to occupy our time, they didn't have movies in the airplanes, no Wi-Fi, no TV screens on the back of the seats, none of that. You just sat there looking at each other or sleeping and would want to play Crazy Eight. I just wanted to take the deck of cards and just throw it all over the plane. Because I don't care if I was down to one card. Somehow or another, that thing got flipped and I ended up with every card. If that's how it goes in Crazy Eight. Anyway, she'd win every time. And I said, well, you know what? We're never, ever, ever, ever going to play Crazy Eight again. We took a trip one time with a couple here and played Mexican Train. I don't know if you've ever played Mexican Train. It's not a hard game, but it's devastating if you're 500 points away from the third to last person and there's no possibility in a lifetime of ever winning the game. You just want to take every domino on the table, just throw them all out the window and tell everybody to go to bed and leave me alone. I hate this game. I hate you. I hate life. Maybe I'll love you in the morning, but right now you're not my priority. But you know what? He said, with me, be last. That's what he said. You want to be first? Be last. You want to be the greatest? Be a minister. Don't draw attention to yourself with what you do. You draw attention to me. You get down and serve them. And in my book, you'll be the best. Well, that's a real switch in our mentality. But I'm going to tell you what, it solves all the problems of contention among believers. I want to get down below the downest one and find a way to serve you. And Jesus said, that'll be that right there, that'll be just fine. That's the best in my book. Why? Because that's what he did. That's what he did. He did that for a thief who was bad and for Barabbas who was really bad. And he said, I'm just going to get down as far as I can get down to death and hell to see if I can ransom that soul. That you want to be first? Be last. That's your priority. Isn't that something? You know, people are like, oh, he's going to talk about the priorities of life. Ooh, man, this is going to make me a better job. Da, da, da. I thought about these years ago, and I thought to myself, if when I was in the banking business, I had these as my priorities, listen, I would have been twice as good at least in the position I was in than I was without these priorities. These are the best, and they make you the best. But he gets the glory. And that's the best that you can be. Keep the first commandment first. Seek first the kingdom of God. Give yourself first to the Lord. Cleanse yourself from the inside out first. First, clean the inside. And be a servant first. Those are God's priorities. They should be ours. Amen. Father, we're very thankful today to be able to see what you've put in the Bible for us. Whew, we've been edified today. Perhaps we've been even corrected. Perhaps we've been strengthened and we wondered, am I really doing the right thing? Is it right for me to put these first? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Absolutely. If you are, I pray this has really encouraged you to continue. If you're not, I pray that it really edifies you to start. Amen. Amen.